This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, October 11th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Plans are moving forward for the re-imaging of the Old Orchard Mall in Skokie. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, if you're considering buying a home in the next few years, you should start that journey now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And if you want to buy a home starting next spring, that means you have several months to not only find your ducks, but to get them all in a row.
100%, Rob. Thanks for having me on here today. That's a big thing that we tell a lot of our clients is, you know, if you're not ready to buy right now, you know, do the homework. You know, scope out the area where you want to live, do a little research on, you know, the neighborhood, the home prices, and, you know, get some of your financials in line. It'll be really helpful.
And also, if you are taking some extra time to actually jump into the housing market starting, let's say, next spring, once the weather warms up, there's also a real good possibility that the mortgage environment will be considerably more favorable.
Yeah, that's what we're all hoping for. Obviously, after the election and the talks of two more price cuts, you know, I think that, you know, you're going to be in a better position. The interest rates will be a little bit more attractive. Hopefully by then there's more inventory in the market that you're able to look from. So now's a really great time to, you know, if your credit is struggling, work on that. If you got, you know, some debt, get that stuff paid down. Don't do the things to you know, set yourself up to, you know, get a good approval.
And then when you're doing some homework on a particular area in which you want to live, what are some of the factors that you should consider above and beyond the obvious? I mean, outside of, you know, walkability, access to public transit, schools, proximity to your job, what are some other things that are really important but you may not really think about?
I think some of the things that people really need to research is, you know, the value of those homes. Have the value of those homes gone down? Are there a lot of those homes for sale? You got to ask that question. Why? Why are there a lot of homes for sale in this neighborhood? You know, is the price dropping? Is the price high? What do the taxes look like? I think, you know, looking at the financial and then the demographics, I think are very important, in as opposed to just looking at the proximity of, you know, where it is for work and school and things. You know, you really got to take care of your financial health in this marketplace, because it's just so fluctuating.
And then when we talk about the taxes, I mean, there are all sorts of online tools now that can help you ballpark your monthly payment. You know, Redfin has a calculator, Zillow has a calculator based on how much money you put down. Are those, you know, as far as the business is concerned, professional real estate people, do you consider them to be reliable calculators and reliable data points?
Yeah, I love that question, because we get it all the time. I mean, it's a good estimator, but if you really want to get it right, you know, talk to your realtors, talk to your mortgage folks. I mean, the mortgage folks are going to be your best stop, because they're going to be the ones that are going to look at your entire financial portfolio. So, you know, you're going to probably get a pre-approval. Be careful with that. You want to make sure that pre-approval has been done, you know, entirely, because we see a lot of instances where these pre-approvals are done and they're not done right, where you get to the closing table and they're saying, well, we found these things on your credit. So you know, you really want to do a lot of that homework up front and get that stuff done. But there's a lot of financial tools out there to use. I'd rather rely on the people.
And then lastly, should you do all of that stuff? I mean, do the homework, get all the logistical stuff taken care of before you start just scrolling those real estate apps, looking at homes available in places you want to live?
100%. You definitely want to know what you can afford before you go out and start picking the house that you can't afford. Because, you know, how depressing would that be, right? Let's figure out what I can buy. Let's figure out my financial situation and, you know, set yourself up to, you know, buy that dream home and, you know, live in that property as debt-free as you can.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Skokie Village Board has approved the first phase in the redevelopment of Old Orchard Shopping Center. Joining us with the details is Stephen Fleur, Senior Vice President of Development with Unibail Rodamco Westfield in Skokie. Stephen, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like when it comes to redevelopment, developing Old Orchard into a mixed-use development, retail and residential, the fact that it's an outdoor shopping center gives it a leg up compared to some other indoor mall conversions.
Yeah, thanks, Rob, for having me this afternoon. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The environment at Old Orchard, you know, the one that everyone's known and loved for years as this outdoor, very pedestrian-friendly experience, really is a natural for adding this kind of use to the site. Bringing in and evolving the site to bring in the multifamily residential to the site. That really keeps the mall as amenity and also gives us the opportunity to reinvest in the common area experience as well and provide, you know, even more destination type activities for people that come to the center.
Now, the first phase has been approved. What does that first phase entail?
Sure. So the first phase entails demolishing the former Bloomingdale's building. We actually relocated them to another portion of the site. And then we build two multifamily buildings that have up to about 425 apartments in them, a whole wide variety of apartments. It's got about 16,000 square feet of new, what will likely be restaurant space in the podium. And then also part of first phase, a big part of the investment is the creation of our town green. So it's a half acre, you know, public space there at the center. That's a new area for us to do all sorts of activities, anything from farmers markets, seasonal fairs, musical entertainment, and the like.
So if Bloomingdale's is meeting the wrecking ball, the bottom line is if you want to go see the Titanic experience or Downton Abbey, do so now because you may not have the opportunity before too long.
This is true. This is true. You do want to get in there and see it while they're still there.
Now, this is a public-private partnership. It's a $100 million redevelopment plan. And how does the funding break down?
Sure. So it's not public-private. What we have done is we brought in a co-developer. So we are partnered with Focus Development Company, which is a fantastic Chicagoland developer there. And they will be responsible for building the multifamily while we take care of all the infrastructure and the town green and all the common area improvements. But we are partnered together in the project entire.
And then what is this the apartment or multifamily housing environment like? Because you do have a number of multi-unit buildings along the Edens at Old Orchard Road. So it seems like there's already a great demand for housing in that particular part of Skokie.
There is. You know, the physical location obviously has always helped us be a very vibrant shopping center, and it's really the same for the multifamily there with the proximity to the Edens, with the proximity to train and to transit, not that far from us. Matter of fact, we've got a great bus transit site on site. But the multifamily market, there's a demand for housing. There is definitely still a lack of housing in this space for the demand for these kind of units, whether that is for young professionals who want to move out to Skokie to experience the great town that the village of Skokie is, or it's a great move-down opportunity for somebody who's got a single-family home in the area and just doesn't have a meaningful place that they would feel comfortable downsizing into.
And if you're a high school student, you can just roll out of bed and be at Niles North.
That's right across the street.
Stephen Fleur, Senior Vice President of Development at Unibail Rodamco Westfield in Skokie. Thank you for joining us today, bringing us up to speed on the plans to redevelop Old Orchard Mall, put in some residential units as part of the shopping center. Coming up next, Tesla reveals its robo-taxi and investors yawn. We'll go inside the details.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of Tesla are lower after last night's unveiling of its highly anticipated robo-taxi failed to impress investors. Joining us to explain is Garrett Nelson, Senior VP of Equity Research at CFRA Research in Richmond, Virginia. Garrett, thank you for joining us today. And in one way, the unveiling of the robo-taxi, Garrett, is Elon Musk following through on a promise that he's been making for years, that fully autonomous self-driving vehicles would be available sometime before the middle of the decade. The robo-taxi is out. And how does it stack up to other self-driving car efforts that have been out for years?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Overall, you know, we thought this event was a bit disappointing. We did see the robo-taxi finally. They unveiled a new prototype of an autonomous robo-van, which can seat up to 20 passengers. We got to look at the updated Optimus robot that they're working on. But the big problem in our view is that there was a real lack of information regarding the near term and the intermediate term. If you look on the last conference call in July, Elon Musk said that they would have first production of a mass market EV model, not the robo-taxi, but another model would have first production in the first half of next year, followed by the Roadster, another model, by the end of next year. They said he said nothing about those two models. So it really left us with more questions than answers following an event that was pretty brief.
And then how do you evaluate Tesla today compared to, let's say, 10 years ago when the first vehicles were on the road? Obviously, if you want to invest early on and hang in there, that bet does pay off. But is there an unwillingness to do so at this point in Tesla's evolution?
Yeah, we think the risk-reward obviously isn't as great as it was 10 years ago. You look at the stock's valuation heading into the release. It was trading at about 75 times the consensus earnings estimate for next year. That's a pretty lofty multiple. So the market investors are really giving Tesla a lot of credit for growth, which hasn't even occurred yet. And, you know, stocks that are trading at multiples that are that high leaves a lot of room for disappointment, which is why we were cautious heading into the release. And what really happened was typical of investor events, major investor events we've seen from Tesla over the last several years. You have a big run-up in the stock price leading up to the event. Over the last 5 or 6 months, we've seen that with Tesla shares, and then a sell-the-news reaction after, which is what we're seeing today.
And then very quickly, how does this evaluation also take into account some of the other issues involving other autonomous taxis like Cruise and Waymo?
Well, we think Tesla is taking the right approach. They're taking a different approach relative to those other companies. They're using camera and AI, gathering data from hundreds of thousands, millions of vehicles on the road that are collecting real-time data, and then using NVIDIA AI chips to process that data. The other companies are still using LiDAR and radar. So they're taking a different approach. We do think Tesla is taking the right approach, the one that will be successful in the end. But the reality is a fully autonomous vehicle is still several years away, and they face regulatory hurdles in a lot of areas that need to be they'll need to conquer before we see that become a reality.
Garrett Nelson, Senior VP of Equity Research at CFRA Research in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you for joining us today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Chicago police investigate a disturbing discovery made in a neighborhood west of downtown Chicago. An island off the Florida coast dealing with the devastation of Hurricane Milton. Entrepreneur Friday will introduce you to a Chicagoan who's building a career as a social media influencer. And when plotting your investment strategy, it can make sense to lock in some long-term gains and build some cash. WBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 301. The NASDAQ is up 50. And the S&P 500 is up 28. We have AccuWeather says sunshine mixing with clouds, breezy, very warm. We could break a record of 87, which was set in 1928. 77 degrees right now under mostly sunny skies at 1231. Topping our news at the half hour. The investigation is underway. Following an unsettling find on the Near West Side yesterday evening, a person walking in the 2600 block of Taylor Street just before 6 discovered what appeared to be human remains inside a box. Police have not released any more details at this time. The small barrier island community of Boca Grande is among the areas in Florida pummeled by Hurricane Milton. The latest from CBS's Nicole Valdez.
Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino guided us through what was left of the small battered community. Homes surrounded by brown water, cars swept away, businesses caked in sand.
I'm looking at pure devastation here. This is horrific. It's heartbreaking to me.
Milton slammed the island with 5-foot storm surges threatening bridges and roads.
The death toll from the hurricane reported to be at 16. Search and rescue operations are ongoing. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services. And you can find him online, horizoninvestment.com. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like, as far as the Dow is concerned, the industrial average, a bit of a relief rally is underway because it seems like investors like that producer price index report from this morning.
Well, I think they like the producer price index. And I also think that, you know, we're just getting into earnings season. So we had the first taste of that with some of the major banks, including J.P. Morgan. And you're looking at, you know, banking stocks doing really, really well today. And they have kind of a value flavor to them. And I think that's drifted over to the Dow as well, as investors are looking in more of the kind of value pockets of the market. And the Dow certainly fits that today.
It seems like the debate right now, as the CPI released yesterday, the consumer price index, a little hotter than analysts expected, the producer price index, the wholesale number, was below analysts' expectations. It was flat month over month. The Fed's preferred inflation gauge coming out later this month. And now it seems like we're debating, is this a soft landing or a no landing scenario? And in which case, where does the Fed go from here?
Yeah, that is the big debate. It's how much will the Fed be cutting rates? And you know, we've seen, interestingly, kind of a pop-up in rates, long-term rates here in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, that's going to be a thread. But I think at the end of the day, you know, the markets, yes, interest rates matter, but also what matters are corporate profits. And if, you know, we're getting into that environment here where as long as rates don't escalate, as long as inflation continues to trend lower, you know, that's a pretty good setup for the market because of the economy and corporate profit growth here. So, you know, I think what we're seeing today is more – kind of the growth camp winning and what that's going to do for corporate earnings. Because at the end of the day, it's really, markets are really driven by corporate earnings. And so if earnings can continue to grow and on the back of a stronger economy, that's a plus for stocks.
We're still very early in the game as far as third quarter earnings are concerned. Is a trend beginning to emerge, though? Or once again, it's just the small sample size with just the handful of companies that are reporting. And as far as the forward guidance is concerned, how much will we see the word uncertainty as more companies report?
Well, you know, again, as you mentioned, we're very, very early. I mean, this is, you know, the first half inning of corporate earnings, and the banks usually lead that off. And so far, you know, so good. I think, you know, as we get further into earnings season, that's obviously going to bring up more uncertainties, and you're going to have earnings coming out right when you've got, you know, the presidential election coming out as well here in early November. So there's going to be this kind of intersection of political as well as corporate earnings uncertainties, and we'll see how the market handles that. I think it'll handle it, you know, well, but we'll have to see.
And then this rally that we have been seeing this week, is this kind of a broad-based rally across all sectors of the economy, or once again, do you have one particular area that's pulling everybody else along?
Well, it depends on the day you ask me that. You know, it was kind of a growth stock tech rally earlier today. It's much more broad-based. You're seeing small cap stocks, for example, in the Russell 2000 index is up over 1.5%. You're seeing the Dow Jones Transportation Average up, you know, significantly today, and that's very economically sensitive. So, you know, today it's kind of a much broader market, and I think it has been that case here really for the last couple of months. And that bodes well for the market. I think the breadth matters, and I think the better breadth you have in the market, it's better for a sustained market advance.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, the website horizoninvestment.com. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next on Entrepreneur Friday, building a brand as a social media influencer.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour, and today we meet a local actress, model, writer, and social media influencer who has built a career collaborating with top brands across food, fashion, and lifestyle platforms. Welcome in Rachel Moretti. You can find her on social media. She's on Instagram at Rachel Michella, TikTok at Readily Rachel, the website rachelmoretti.com. And right now you find her on the radio. Rachel, thank you for joining us today. I get tired just talking about, I got exhausted just talking about all the things that you do. But Rachel, you're from Chicago. You graduated with a degree in communications and journalism from Concordia University. And in a different time and place, Rachel, I suppose you'd be starting off in your TV news career, you know, racing around Grand Junction, Colorado all by yourself. But instead, you're in Chicago and you're a social media influencer. And how'd you get there?
Hi, thank you so much. You know, when I was at Concordia, I started off by dipping my feet in the journalism world, and I absolutely loved to tell stories about people and just kind of like showcasing all of the amazing stuff that Chicago had to offer. And so I started my website on my blog when blogging was just kind of starting out. And I fell in love with fashion, and I did a little bit of modeling and acting back in the day, but one of the hardest things that I ran into in the modeling world, especially back then, was my height difference. I'm only 5'3", and that's not really seen a lot walking on the catwalks. So I was constantly told, you know, you're too short, or we can't really work with you because of your height. And I was like, that's no fun. So I started Readily Rachel about 2017, and I started just showcasing petite fashion for the girls that were 5'3 and under. And the rest is history. Now it's kind of blossomed into doing a blog and then also transferring over into Instagram and TikTok.
It seems like that's the secret to success in any digital media endeavor, is that you identify one area, whatever that area may be, and then really just flood that zone with your unique knowledge and your unique insight, and then that just becomes the foundation upon which everything else is built.
That is so true. I mean, I love the different ways that you can play around with social media and really just make a mark for yourself. Although I do a lot of fashion, and that's kind of how my blog and website blossomed, I dip and dab in a bunch of different things. But I try to pride myself on being a very colorful person in my fashion and in my storytelling. So not only do I work a lot with fashion and like the petite style of fashion, but I also work a lot with restaurants. And to have the ability to kind of tell their story and showcase all of these amazing food entrepreneurs that we have here in Chicago and restaurants is something else that I really enjoy doing and kind of like allowing them to tell their story through my platform.
Some of your collaborations, collabs, as they say in the business, White Castle, Gino's East, Brown Bag Seafood, and of course, Rachel Moretti. This is a match made in heaven, I suppose. The Moretti's pizza restaurants with locations throughout Chicagoland. How do these collaborations come together? Like, do you call Moretti's in Edison Park and just say, hey, my last name is Moretti. I tell stories via my social media platform. Let's make something happen. Or is there a more formalized process?
Well, for Moretti, they can officially adopt me since I've already worked with them. My last name's Moretti. But no, in all honesty, when I first started off, that was probably the most nerve-wracking thing is to work with restaurants and just different places that I wanted to work with. But in all honesty, I just started off using my own personal financial coin to go out and go to these restaurants or pick up these outfits. I would shoot them and I would tag the brands that I felt really passionate about. And as I start to kind of develop this following, the brands started to notice. And they reached out to me. And as I grew with these restaurants and with working with different fashion brands, you know, you start to get a little bit more confident. You start to find your voice and your shooting style. And people just kind of come your way after that. But for people that are starting out that really want to get into this business, I just say, go to the places that you really enjoy working with or that you enjoy in your everyday life. Take a couple of photos, take a couple of videos, post them onto your feed, and the rest is history. You can kind of grow just by doing something like that.
And then very quickly, Rachel, like the precepts in radio or broadcasting, it's, you know, try to craft something in a way that will appeal to the most people and really grab their attention in a matter of seconds. And for you, I would imagine that's the challenge. What can I do? How can I set this up? How can I start a video in such a way that it's going to stop your endless scrolling? And that to me seems like a greater challenge than how do we keep somebody from punching away to a different station?
Yeah, that I still think about this in my everyday life and doing social media is like, how can I catch someone's attention in like 2 seconds? But I think the main thing to keep in mind is just to be yourself. And as cliche as that sounds, everyone is unique in their own way. And I think it's that uniqueness that ends up stopping someone, because 9 out of 10, something that is a little weird or funky about yourself, someone else is experiencing that and they can relate to that. So I think not only is it the, you know, trying to get like caught up and be unique in this whole social media world where everyone's tends to be the same a lot of the time. But I think it's that uniqueness and that eye-grabbing like hook in the first 2 or 3 seconds that can really capture someone's attention and make them want to learn a little bit more about you.
Rachel Moretti, social media influencer, thank you for joining us today on Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, perspectives on investing from longtime market observer Mark Hulbert.
WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Locking in long-term profits and raising cash reduces stock portfolio risk and avoids unnecessary stress and unpredictable market conditions. Joining us as to why it's sometimes prudent to take the win is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And nothing can really stop the markets. I mean, you could throw foreign policy turmoil, you can throw commodity shocks, you can throw anything at it, and it continues its inexorable climb upward. But there are some things you can be doing, Mark, above and beyond just staring at all of your investment apps and watching the number go up.
Well, boy, it would be great if it always went up. I mean, I feel like I need to, just before prefacing, before I answer your question, that, you know, that when there's a long period of poor market performance, then everything looks like it's just the opposite, that, you know, no matter where you throw your money, it's going to lose. I mean, the decade of the 1970s is a great example of that. So we should remember, of course, I know you know this, but the market doesn't always go up. But right now it does. It seems as though it always does. And the reason I think, nevertheless, to take some money off the table is that, at least historically, there has been not the relationship between risk and reward that financial planners always tell us that there is, which is that more risk leads to more reward. In fact, if you look at the data, after a certain point, there's a diminishing return to risk such that there's no point to take it unless you just happen to be a thrill seeker.
And then what are some things that you can do as far as taking that win are concerned to make sure you can lock in, you know, your pocket some of those gains above and beyond just enjoying their value on paper?
Well, one of the things that I think is a nice way of doing it is simply to create a high watermark for your portfolio. And then say anytime the market goes above that, you look at the end of the month or end of the quarter, just set up whatever mechanical rule makes sense, and then take out any money that's above that high watermark and put it in lower risk, say some dividend stocks, some blue chip stocks, or even go into some corporate bonds and so forth. And so you gradually reduce the risk of your portfolio, and you do it mechanically according to a formula rather than trying to decide in a moment, because the sentiment will always have you continue to be in the market, because as the market goes up, it seems like you'd be a fool to take anything out.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.